Triumph of the Spirit, Part 2, continued from the July-August issue. After Christ, the single most divine personality to shine out through 2,000 years of Christianity was the little poor man of Assisi, St. Francis. His brief, inspired life transformed thousands during his lifetime and remains an unshakable example to all those who wish to seek first the kingdom of God. Great personalities have the power to manifest the potential greatness in others. In the fertile company of St. Francis, his first 12 intimate companions blossomed into spiritually fragrant flowers. Their intense aspiration, perfect renunciation, and ecstatic love for God has been a source of inspiration to the faithful down through the centuries. Tales from the lives of these first exalted followers were compiled into a book by a devout Franciscan monk who lived during the early years of the order. In this great Christian classic, The Fiorite, or The Little Flowers of St. Francis, translated by Raphael Brown, New York, Image Books, 1958. One of the most unforgettable characters is the guileless child of God, Brother Juniper. His utter simplicity, complete self-effacement, compassion, and sincerity are delightfully portrayed in about a dozen stories and anecdotes. His life unfolds a picture of a liberated soul playing about the world for the glory of God. How Brother Juniper used to give whatever he could to the poor for the love of God. Brother Juniper had so much pity and compassion for the poor that when he saw anyone who was badly clothed or bare, he would immediately rip off his sleeve or cowl or some piece of his habit and give it to that poor man. And so the guardian ordered him, under obedience, not to give all or part of his habit to anyone. A few days later, it happened that he met a poor man who was almost naked and who begged Brother Juniper to give him something for the love of God. And Juniper said to him very compassionately, "My dear man, I have nothing to give you except my habit, and my superior has told me, under obedience, not to give it or part of it away to anyone. But if you pull it off my back, I certainly will not prevent you." He was not speaking to a deaf man, for he immediately pulled the habit off inside out and went away with it, leaving Brother Juniper naked. When he went back to the place, the friars asked him where his habit was, and he answered, "Some good person pulled it off my back and went away with it." And as the virtue of compassion grew in him, he was not satisfied with giving only his habit, but to the poor he used to give books and ornaments from the altar and cloaks of the other friars and whatever he could lay his hands on. Consequently, when poor people came to Brother Juniper to beg, the friars used to take and hide the things they wanted to keep so that Brother Juniper should not find them, for he used to give everything away for the love of God and for his praise. How Brother Juniper cut some ringlets from the altar and gave them away. Once, when Brother Juniper was at the friary in Assisi for the feast of the Lord's Nativity, he was in the church near the main altar, which was very beautifully draped and decorated. At the request of the sacristan, he stayed to guard the altar while the sacristan went to get a bite to eat. While he was devoutly meditating, a poor little woman begged him to give her something for the love of God, and he answered, "Wait a minute, I'll see if I can find anything to give you from this richly decorated altar." Now, there was on the altar a very costly frontal from which were hanging some silver ringlets. And when Brother Jupiter looked at the ornate altar, he saw the silver ringlets and said, "These ringlets are superfluous." And taking a knife, he cut all of them off the frontal and gave them to the poor little woman out of compassion. Meanwhile, the sacristan, after eating three or four mouthfuls, began to remember the ways of Brother Juniper and to fear that in his zeal for charity, he might do some damage to the richly decorated altar which he had left in his guard. So he quickly rose from the table and went to the church, and when, on looking over the ornaments of the altar, he saw that the ringlets had been cut away and stripped from the frontal, he became exceedingly angry and indignant. Brother Juniper saw how excited he was and said, "Don't be upset about those ringlets, because I have given them to a poor little woman who was in great need. They were good for nothing here except to make a display of worldly vanity." On hearing this, the sacristan became furious and immediately ran to the church and the whole city, anxiously trying to find the woman. But not only did he not find her, he could find no one who had seen her. So he returned to the friar and angrily took the frontal to the minister general, John Parenti, who was then in Assisi, and said, "Father General, I demand justice from you against Brother Juniper, who has destroyed this frontal for me, and it was the finest one in the sacristan. Now, look how he has ruined it and stripped away all the silver ringlets. And he says he has given them to a poor woman." "Brother John," the general answered, "Brother Juniper did not do this. Rather, it was your foolishness, because you assigned him to guard the altar. Don't you know his ways? I tell you, I am surprised he did not give away the rest. However, I am going to correct him severely for this fault." And after vespers were chanted, he summoned all the friars in the chapter, and calling Brother Juniper before him, in the presence of the whole community, he rebuked him very strongly about the ringlets. And as his anger increased, he raised his voice until he became rather hoarse. Now, Brother Juniper did not particularly mind those words, as he rejoiced in being blamed and humiliated, but he began to worry more about the general's hoarseness and to think of some remedy for it. So, after receiving the scolding, he went into the city and had a bowl of porridge prepared with butter. He returned late that night, and lighting a candle, he took the bowl of porridge to the general's cell and knocked. On opening the door and seeing him holding the lighted candle and the dish, the general asked quietly, "What do you want at this hour? What is it?" Brother Juniper answered, "Father, when you were scolding me in chapter for my faults, I noticed that your voice became hoarse from overstrain, I believe. So I thought of a remedy and had this porridge made for you with butter. Please eat it. I am sure it will relieve your throat and chest. The general said, "What an hour for you to bother people." Brother Juniper replied, "Come, it was made for you. Please eat it. It will do you good." But the general was angered by the lateness of the hour and his insisting, and said, "Go away, you brute. Do you think I am going to eat at this hour?" As Brother Juniper realized that neither begging nor persuading would help, he said to him, "Father, since you do not want to eat, and this porridge was made for you, at least do this for me. Hold the candle and I will eat." Then the gentle, who was a very pious and devout man, was won over by Brother Juniper's great compassion and simplicity and charity, for he had done it out of devotion, and he answered, "Well, now, brother, since you want to, let's both eat together." And because of Brother Juniper's insistent charity, they both ate the bowl of porridge, and they were refreshed far more by the devotion than by the food. To the glory of Christ. Amen.